Disciple or the student. Who is qualified to be a student? Who is qualified to properly understand the Bhagavad Gita? So Prabhupada is saying that we must be like Arjuna if we want to understand Bhagavad Gita. What is it that Krishna saw in Arjuna that made him speak the Bhagavad Gita to him? That made him select Arjuna amongst millions of other candidates who were probables. And the answer is that Arjuna was a fixed devotee of Krishna. And he was in a direct relationship with Krishna. And because of that, he had developed certain qualities. So Prabhupada is saying here that we must also try to develop those qualities that Arjuna had, so that Krishna will also be pleased to make us understand the Bhagavad Gita properly. It's not just a question of intellectual endeavor. It's a question of the mercy of the Lord in addition to our own efforts. The two must go together. So then Srila Prabhupada continues about this question of having a direct relationship with the Lord. Quote, as soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he also has a direct relationship with the Lord. That is a very elaborate subject matter, but briefly it can be stated that a devotee is in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of five different ways. So the important point that Prabhupada is making here is that if one becomes a devotee, then one has a direct relationship with the Lord. Actually, every single living entity has a direct relationship with the Lord, because we are all part and parcel of Krishna. But the difference between the devotee and the non-devotee is that the devotee recognizes and understands and wants to develop this already eternally existing personal direct relationship that he or she has with the Supreme Lord. This is actually the process of yoga. Yoga means to link, yuj, to link in love, to revive the lost relationship with Krishna. The relationship has been lost from our side, not Krishna's side. Krishna, like the all-loving Father, is always trying to bring the conditioned soul back to his lotus feet. But the conditioned soul resists. He forgets that he has a direct relationship with the Lord, and he prefers to set up a direct relationship with his illusory energy Maya. So the conditioned souls have a direct relationship with Maya, and the devotees have a direct relationship with Krishna. Because the non-devotees want to forget Krishna, because they don't want to have a direct relationship with Krishna, so Krishna brings in an intermediary, that is Maya, to cover up. That eternal or direct relationship that the jiva has with Krishna can never be extinguished. It is always there. But since the conditioned soul wants to forget it, the Lord brings in Maya Shakti to bewilder the conditioned soul. Now when we actually become devotees, then we realize, yes, I actually have a direct relationship with God, a one-to-one relationship. Now this may not be possible for a human being to have a one-to-one relationship with everyone. We also know so many people. Every one of us here sitting in this room today, we all know so many different people. How many people do you know? Can you think? What do you think? How many people do you know well? You may say, I know 100, 200, 1,000, 5,000, whatever it may be. How many can you satisfy completely? Hardly anybody. So we may know so many people, but it is hard for us to simultaneously keep a relationship with everyone. But Krishna can do that. he can have a direct personal relationship with every single jiva without that jiva feeling deprived in any way. Krishna can deal with every jiva personally, and that jiva will be completely fulfilled and satisfied, thinking that Krishna is dealing only with me. So we see also, Krishna dealt like this with the cowherd boys, with the gopis, with the queens in Dwarka. So because Krishna's potency is inconceivable, so he can do these things. It is only Krishna who can have a direct relationship with every single jiva, who are infinite in number, and keep every single jiva completely happy and satisfied. So when we become devotees, we actually revive that mood of service. Then Prabhupada says, such direct relationships that the devotee has with the Lord are in five different categories. One can relate to the Lord in five different ways. So what are those five different ways? Let us read what Srila Prabhupada says here. Quote, one may be a devotee in a passive state. Two, one may be a devotee in an active state. Three, one may be a devotee as a friend. Four, one may be a devotee as a parent. Five, one may be a devotee as a conjugal lover. So these five relationships basically cover all relationships that we know, even in this world. These five are complete and perfect. So what are the technical words in Sanskrit for each of these five? One may be a devotee in a passive state. Yes, shanta, or it is neutral. It's a neutral relationship. There is love, but it's a neutral relationship. One may be a devotee in the active state. What's the word for it? Dasya, the spirit of servitude. Third, one may be a devotee as a friend. What's the word? Sakya. One may be a devotee as a parent. Vatsalya. One may be a devotee as a conjugal lover. Madhurya. So these are the different relationships that the devotee can have. But it is important to note in what condition of life, as far as we are concerned, these relationships actually manifest. These relationships exist in the spiritual world for the eternally liberated living entities who are there associating with the Lord and serving Him. And this has been going on from time immemorial. Within the material world, these relationships exist for those exalted souls who love God with 100% purity, who have absolutely no material contamination in their hearts. In other words, the foundation for these five relationships is pure love of God, prema bhakti. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear the conversation between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. He asks him to elaborate on the ultimate goal of life, sadhya. And after having gone through so many options, he comes to the point of quoting the famous verse spoken by Brahma in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which begins with Jnane Prayasam Udapasya Namantya Eva, in which Brahma says that one who has given up the impersonal conception of life, one who constantly and strictly follows the devotional principles, the practice of devotional life, who constantly engages in the hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord in the association of his devotees actually becomes entitled to conquer the Supreme Lord. In other words, Brahmaji was emphasizing the principle of hearing and chanting so that one can develop pure devotional service. And immediately Mahaprabhu agreed. He said yes. So this particular verse represents the basic principle of perfection. That is to hear and chant about Krishna and to serve him with our heart and soul, giving up all other considerations that are opposed to bhakti. But then, one's devotion must become deep. It must become spontaneous. When we follow rules and regulations, then there is a restriction on the devotion. So even as we follow the rules and regulations, when the devotion matures, it comes to a point of spontaneity. When one loves Krishna naturally, and even though one very strictly follows the rules and regulations, one is not actually obliged because one's devotion has crossed the level of material contamination. One is now completely pure. And it is on this platform of being completely free of these material contaminations, of being fixed in pure devotion to the Lord in spontaneous love, can these five relationships or any one of them manifest in somebody's heart. Then there is a very nice analysis of these five relationships. And in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion, it is very nicely explained. The devotees who want to know more about this can read Nectar of Devotion. Very, very beautiful description of how we can enter into different relationships with Krishna. As far as the Shantaras is concerned, that is a very preliminary stage in these relationships. Some acharyas don't consider it really a rasa or a mellow, and some say regardless whether we accept or not, still it is a preliminary stage. And in this stage, one has appreciation for the greatness of God, for the beauty of God, for the qualities and characteristics of God, and so on. But a spirit of service has not yet developed. There is just appreciation, but it hasn't come alive. Therefore, Prabhupada says, in a passive state, there is not much of service that is given to the Supreme Lord. Can you quote any examples of great devotees in the Shantaras? Yes. Madhavendra Puri. Bhishma Pitamaha, no. He's a Dasya Ras actually. The famous examples, the well-known examples. Yes. Chatush Kumar, yes, the four Kumaras. And Rupa Goswami also mentions Bilva Mangal Thakur and Shukadev Goswami here in this world. So these are examples of Shantaras. As the devotion becomes more intimate, there is some spirit of service there, then one calls it Dasyaras. In Dasyaras, one wants to serve the Lord and one actively engages in that service. One is constantly engaged in serving the Lord as a servant. One thinks of Krishna as one's master. Any examples of famous servants of Krishna? Yes. Hanuman. Yes, Lord Ram's servant, Hanuman. And in Krishna Leela? Raktak, Pitrak, Chitrak, etc. Raktak is actually the chief servant in Vrindavan. All these things are given in Nectar of Devotion. You may read that. So they are their chief servants. And what about Dwarka? Who was Krishna's charioteer? Daruka. So these are all great devotees who serve Krishna in the mood of a servant. Dadu is pointing out that Raktak, Pitrak, etc., their main mood of service was to Nanda Maharaj, and therefore their mood of service was mixed with Vatsalya. Actually, in Vrindavan, everything is meant simply for nourishing the Madhuri Ras. All other forms of service, all other moods and mellows exist for this one purpose. And there are also shades of mixes. Uddhav also, for example, is both a friend, a very intimate friend of Krishna, but still there was some degree of formality because of which he is also considered in the mood of servitude. So there are instances of mellows mixing in this way, but that is not something unusual. What is considered is a predominant mellow, and therefore according to that they are classified. So Srila Rupa Goswami has classified Raktak as a chief servitor of Krishna in the nectar, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So therefore we accept it as such. So there are many, many servants like this, unlimited servants. While there is no principle of servitude in the Kshantaras, there is a principle of servitude in the Dasiras, but still there is some degree of fear because the servant has some fear regarding the master. He doesn't want to annoy the master. He always wants to please the master. So there's some degree of apprehension that I should not disturb my master. So to that extent, there is a want of confidence. However, when we come to the next relationship, which is the relationship as a friend, then we find that there is no more any fear. In the earlier stage of being a servant of the Lord, the devotee feels himself or herself to be subordinate to the Lord, the Lord to be higher and the devotee to be lower. But when one is in the dasya, in the sakhya ras, the spirit of friendship, there is a spirit of equality. And there is an increased confidence. There is no fear now. Now, in fact, Krishna may become fearful. We see in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda comes to call Krishna back. Come for lunch. It is so late. Are you some street boy with no discipline, with no proper times for your lunch? Come home immediately. So out of fear, Krishna wants to go. And then his friends threaten him. If you go now, then we won't take you back for playing next time you come. So Krishna is afraid now. So he decides to take the scolding of Mother Yashoda, and he stays back with his friends for some more time and plays. So in this spirit of equality, sometimes Krishna becomes afraid of his friends in that spirit of love. So here, there is no question of fear. There is full confidence in the friendship of Krishna. At the same time, the level of affection is not as great as in the Vatsalya Ras, which is the spirit of parenthood, where Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda and the elder Gopas and Gopis love Krishna. And here, they consider themselves superior to Krishna. In the spirit of friendship, the devotee considers himself equal to Krishna. But in the spirit of parenthood, the devotee considers himself or herself to be superior to Krishna. And many times, Mother Yashoda thinks, oh, this such and such, this may happen to Krishna. The asuras may come to kill him, or he may get a disease. And if I don't do something, if I don't protect him, he may die or he may be injured. So in this mood, the devotee considers himself or herself to be the protector of Krishna, to be superior to Krishna. So therefore, there is increased affection in the Vatsalya Ras. And then, but still there is a lack of some degree of freedom and intimacy. But when we reach the Madhurya Ras, or the mood of conjugal love for Krishna, then there is complete freedom, there is complete intimacy. And therefore this state, where one may be a devotee as a conjugal lover, is considered to be the highest. So Srila Prabhupada explains in his other books that in the state of Shanta or neutral state, there is a lack of service, servitude. In the Dasyaras, there is servitude, but there is a lack of confidence because of the fear that is there. In the spirit of friendship, there is full confidence, there is no fear, but there is a want of increased affection. In the Vatsalya Ras, there is increased affection, but there is a lack of complete freedom and intimacy. But in the Shringara Ras or the Madhurya Ras, none of these shortcomings are there. They have all the positive points and all the qualities of the earlier rasas plus much more. And that is that here there is complete freedom, complete intimacy. And therefore the taste is considered to be the most sweet and intense. Therefore it is called Madhurya. From the Madhurya means sweet. And Arjuna specifically, what was he? In which mood was he? The mood of Sakya or friendship. So then this is what Prabhupada says here. So let us read. Quote, Arjuna was in a relationship with the Lord as a friend. Of course, there is a gulf of difference between this friendship and the friendship found in the material world. This is transcendental friendship which cannot be had by everyone. Unquote. So Arjuna's relationship with Krishna is transcendental friendship. This is also described very nicely in the Nectar of Devotion by Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That Krishna's friends of his own age, they are called Vayasyas. He has Vayasyas in Vrindavan and he has Vayasyas in the Puras. Pura. Pura means the cities. Like Dwarka Puri, Mathura Puri, Hastinapura. The Pura or Puri refers to a city. Just like we have Jagannath Puri. So the Vayasyas in Vrindavan are the friends of the same age. Can you name some of them? Who are the friends of Krishna in Vrindavan of the same age? Subal, Shridam, who else? Madhumangal. So many like this. And they have wonderful pastimes here. They play together and frolic here in the sands in Raman Reti. So these are the Vayasyas from Vrindavan. But there are also the Vayasyas who live in the Puras. So amongst them, Rupa Goswami says, there is Arjuna, there is Bhima, and there is Draupadi also. So Draupadi, although she was in a female body, but she is considered in the mood of friendship with Krishna. It was like a brotherly kind of relationship. It was very, very intimate, and we can see that the love that Draupadi had for Krishna was very deep, and that is why on numerous occasions it was Draupadi who saved the Pandavas. Can you name some instances? Yes. When Durvasa came in the story of the Akshay Patra, when the Pandavas were in the forest and Durvasa Muni came and Yudhishthir Maharaj was really nervous now what to do. Draupadi had already eaten from the Akshay Patra, and now that Akshay Patra could not produce any more food for the day. So what was to be done to protect themselves from the wrath of Durvasa Muni, who was known to pronounce curses at the slightest bit of discomfort that he experienced? So it was then that Draupadi prayed to Krishna. And then Krishna came immediately, although he was far away in Dwarka, but he appeared on the spot in the forest. And he resolved the situation. And Durvasa Muni left. So Draupadi, Bhima, although Bhima is a little older than Arjuna, but still he's more or less in that category. Yudhishthir Maharaj is a little older, so he is in the slightly older category. It is said that when Krishna would meet the Pandavas, he would deal with them in different ways. First he would meet Yudhishthir, because he was the eldest, and he would bow down before Yudhishthir, because Yudhishthir was an older brother, cousin. He was older, so therefore deserving of his respect. So although Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but still he was playing the role of a human being, and as Yudhishthir was the elder brother, he would bow down to offer respect. Similarly, he would do so to Bhima. And then with Arjuna, he would embrace, because Arjuna was of the same age. So when you are of the same age, there is greater intimacy. And then for the younger two brothers, of the youngest two brothers of the Pandavas, Nakul and Sahadev, he would actually offer them his blessings, and they would actually bow down before him. So Bhima and Arjuna specifically are mentioned as the vayasyas, or friends of the similar age in the Puras. And there are some nice pastimes like this given by Rupa Goswami there, and also in other places. In the Bhagavad Gita also we see these pastimes going on. The whole Bhagavad Gita itself is a pastime, because Krishna has driven the chariot of Arjuna as Arjuna's servant. This is the extent to which, in the mood of equality and friendship, the Lord actually becomes a servant of the devotee. So that is Arjuna's position, which is being clarified here by Srila Prabhupada. So let's continue. Quote, "Of course, everyone has a particular relationship with the Lord, and that relationship is evoked by the perfection of devotional service. But in the present status of our life, not only have we forgotten the Supreme Lord, but we have forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Every living being, out of many, many billions and trillions of living beings, has a particular relationship with the Lord eternally. That is called Swarupa. By the process of devotional service, one can revive that Swarupa. And that stage is called Swarup Siddhi, perfection of one's constitutional position." So Arjuna was a devotee, and he was in touch with the Supreme Lord in friendship. Unquote. So the main point being made by Srila Prabhupada here is that yes, the living entity can relate to the Lord in any of these five relationships. But these five relationships exist on the platform only of pure devotional service. And therefore the conditioned soul, in order to re-establish himself on that transcendental position in that relationship with Krishna, must execute the process of bhakti, the devotional service process, till he or she comes to this platform, till he or she attains the Swarup Siddhi. Swarup means constitutional position, and Siddhi means perfection. Each of us has a fixed relationship with Krishna in some mood. At this time we don't know what it is, because we are covered by the three modes of material nature. and because of various contaminations in our heart. But by regularly performing devotional service, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, our heart is cleansed. And eventually we will attain perfection where our eternal relationship with the Lord will be revealed to us. That is called Swarup Siddhi. This process of revelation of the Swarupa is not a cheap thing. In many places in Braj, sometimes in Radhakund, sometimes here in Vrindavan, you may find so-called gurus advertising quick fix Swarup Siddhis. Siddha Pranali, they'll give you some certain form of Diksha and initiate you into being a cowherd boy or a gopi or a peacock in Goloka Vrindavan. But that's, the process is not so cheap. One has to cultivate Anushilanam, the spirit of devotion, by regularly performing austerities for the pleasure of Krishna, by following regularly the regulative principles of devotional service. Then gradually one may come to this Swarup Siddhi. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhika Bunoy Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karoy Udaye. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita states this. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. This Krishna Prema is eternally residing within the heart of every living entity. Shravan Adi Shuddha Chitte Karay Udaye. Shravan Adi, that means by hearing, chanting, serving, that love of God which is dormant in the heart is awakened naturally. The chanting of the holy name and hearing and chanting the pastimes of Krishna, for example, are wonderful methods by which that dormant Krishna consciousness in our hearts can once again be awakened. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in his famous lecture that is recorded, he says, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the soul. It is the original energy of the living entity. Do you remember this lecture? Everybody must have heard this lecture. Very famous lecture. Then he speaks about the Mahamantra and how the Mahamantra cleanses the heart. And then one becomes re-established in one's constitutional position with respect to Krishna. So that is the perfection of our life. So at this time, it is not our concern as to what we are, what is our relationship with Krishna. All we are concerned with at this time is that we should discharge the principles of devotional service very, very nicely, as sincerely and properly as we can. We purify the heart and let devotion automatically arise, and then everything will be revealed. We don't have to be told by somebody, you are such and such. Once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, then how can we understand when we are self-realized? So Prabhupada said, when you sit for your food, does anybody have to give you a certificate that you are full? How do you understand that you are full, that you are satisfied? You understand. The person who is eating easily understands that I am now satisfied. I don't want to eat anymore. In the same way, by the proper practice of Krishna consciousness, this perfection will automatically come. Everything will be revealed in due course of time. The mercy of the Lord coming through the form of the holy name and the mercy of the devotees will reveal everything in the heart of the transcendentalist, of the devotee. So we need not worry. So Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. He said, do your service now for the preaching mission. And don't worry about what you will be in Goloka Vrindavan. That all will be revealed to you at the proper time. And sometimes when devotees express too much of curiosity about what happens in Goloka Vrindavan, and Prabhupada felt that perhaps it was premature for them to ask too many such questions, he said, you will find out when you get there. So don't worry about that. So now our system, our process is to situate ourselves very firmly in the practice of Krishna consciousness, and then we can eventually become re-established in our constitutional position, and then we will become Jivan Mukta, liberated even though we are in this body. And when we leave this body, then we will go back to the spiritual world to eternally associate with Krishna in that particular relationship. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. What is the difference between devotion in the passive state and yoga meditation? Usually, those who meditate on the Lord and the path of yoga, if they are meditating on the personal form of the Lord and they have attained the perfection in that, then they would be in the passive state. Even those who are worshippers of the impersonal, they can also become transformed into worshippers, into devotees in the passive state, if and only if they come in contact with devotees, pure devotees of the Lord, or the Lord Himself, just like the Kumaras, just like Shukadev Goswami. So then they also become situated in Shantaras, in the passive state. Whereas the yogis, they can have either of the two destinations. They can either, by meditating on the personal form of the Lord in the heart, become devotees, and by associating with devotees, they make further advancement. Or the yogis can also divert into the path of impersonal realization, in which case they can be situated on the Shantaras only by the association of devotees. Even those yogis who are meditating on the form of the Lord in the heart, they may appreciate the beauty of the Lord, they may appreciate the mercy of the Lord, but that is still in a passive way. So they also are considered devotees in that state. Any other questions? Yes. The question is that Shukadev Goswami and Bilwa Mangal Thakur have been described as being in the Shantaras, in the nectar of devotion, but they also have described pastimes that have taken place in the other rasas, including the Madhurya rasa. So does it mean that one can be situated in one rasa and then still explain or talk about the rasas, other rasas? Certainly one can. One has understanding of all that. But as I said earlier, like Shukadev Goswami, for example, he is actually a parrot, Shuka, Srimati Radharani's parrot in the spiritual world. So being a parrot, one can say there is a mood of Shanta, there is a Shantaras there, but that parrot is very intimately involved in the conjugal pastimes of Radha Krishna by assisting. So therefore everything in Golok Vrindavan is touched by the Madhurya Ras, whatever may be the predominant mood of service or devotion that one may be in. Hanuman, even for example, he is very much fixed in the Dasya mood, but he understands the glories of the gopis. He very clearly understands. But still he prefers being Hanuman. Any other points? Yes. Qualification? Yes. Hmm? I can't hear you. You have to come speak a little louder. So the question is that it is mentioned that if you really want to understand Bhagavad Gita, then you must develop qualities similar to Arjuna's. But the question is that this is like a circle. And until you hear Bhagavad Gita, you can't develop those qualities and become a devotee. And unless you're a devotee, you can't understand Bhagavad Gita. Both go simultaneously. Adau Shraddha, Tatah Sadhu Sangha, Syat Bhajana Kriya. Rupa Goswami says, in the beginning there must be little faith at least. Therefore, at one place in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada says that we must accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead when we study Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically. One may not have that staunch faith in the beginning, but at least theoretically one starts reading or hearing the Bhagavad Gita like that. And then gradually there is progress because of that initial little bit of faith that we have. And by hearing more in the association of devotees, that faith actually builds up and becomes strong and matures into devotion eventually. Yes. The question is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Dasya Ras is found only in Vaikuntha. The Shantaras is found only for the yogis who meditate on the Paramatma. And there in Golok Vrindavan we find only the three states of Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. So then is it possible to move from one state to another state? Now, as I mentioned, yes, in Goloka Vrindavan, there is the predominance of Madhurya. But it is a fact that we do find his servants there. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu very clearly states and he analyzes all the different kinds of servants. Different categories of servants exist. And even in Goloka, there are also servants in other places, in Vaikuntha and so on. But they're always in the mood to facilitate Krishna relishing the other rasas, the higher rasas. Elsewhere in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada also states that one can transfer oneself from Vaikuntha to Goloka Vrindavan also. Although generally it's not the rule because one is completely self-satisfied in one's constitutional position. But one may, by cultivating that mood of Goloka Vrindavan and the association of the associates of Krishna, develop that mood. An example of Gopa Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita is also given. He goes to Vaikuntha, and then from Vaikuntha, eventually, after a long journey, then he reaches Goloka Vrindavan. But generally, the souls who are in a particular position or in a particular mood, they like to remain in that mood. That is the general principle. Yes, one last question. How is the protection of the world taking place by following dharma? Because when you follow dharma, there is no sin. There is only piety. When there is sin, there is suffering. And suffering comes in different forms, including destruction. So the world is protected from suffering, the world is protected from destruction. Because there is no sinful activity, when everybody is following dharma. So the best way to protect the world is to become Krishna conscious. One can protect oneself and the rest of the world. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.